In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Some years ago, Coolin Mills and I went to Sri Lanka, and we toured all over the country. And one place that we found in Colombo was a wonderful place that makes clergy garments like this. I forgot I had this. This is a beautiful harvest garment, as you can see. And this was made by some nuns in Colombo for me. I think it only cost about £5 or £6, can you believe? In the United Kingdom, this would cost you significantly more. So my mind and my heart today goes to the people of Sri Lanka for this gift for harvest. I wonder what you think about today, coming to church on Harvest Sunday. One thing I think about is an awful lot of people in supermarkets on Sundays now, aren't they? Go to Waitrose or Sainsbury's, Tesco, Morrison's, whatever. They're packed on Sundays. People live anxious, busy lives, and we fill our lives with stuff. I wonder how many people today were walking around thinking the shelves that supply these wonderful array of gifts, actually it comes from Almighty God. I wonder how many people think that. Our bountiful supply, it comes from God. That if it doesn't rain and the sun doesn't rise, and there isn't the warmth, we'd all be done for. It comes from God. And we've given people stuff to live. We've all got stuff. Our lives are stuffed with things. Things to live with. But we haven't got something to live for. Something to live with, but not something to live for. And if you don't give people something finally to live for, the stuff won't mean very much. We'll just live constantly in anxiety, as our reading says. You need something to live for. Jesus said, live for the kingdom of God. Otherwise, if you just give people things, and many of you have given your kids a lot of things, but you haven't given them something to live for. You've got to have something to live for that will sustain you right through all of your life to the very last breath. You need something to live for. And that's why harvest is important, because we orientate those things that are most important. We decide on what we're going to live for. To some of you, I'm just mindful of the change of colour. Harvest means autumn, by the way. We've got a wonderful Virginia creeper in our back garden. It's huge now. It's just grown like Topsy. Whoa, it's everywhere. And yesterday in the sunshine, my grandchildren came. And in the chaos of the four grandchildren and the dog, we stood under the Virginia creeper in its golden, beautiful red and just thought, and I took a picture of them. And our tree outside in the front of the vicarage, that wonderful Acer, I think it is, that dear Doug planted here when he was here as priest. What a wisdom he had in doing that. In a few days, it will be radiant red, beautiful. Harvest and autumn. We reflect on these things today. I was out with my dog yesterday, and I saw this beautiful hedgerow that was about 12 feet wide, very old. It had been beautifully manicured by a farmer. It cut the hedge and just went on and on into the distance, and it was just radiant, full of life. And that's what we celebrate at this time of year. We stop and we stare and we hold those things, the glorious harvest. And my heart and mind, particularly at this time of year, goes back to my little town in Wales, just on the Welsh border, place called Chepstow. It's only famous really because it's got a race course there. When I was a little boy, I used to go to a little school, no longer there now, they knocked it down. It was called St. Mary's School, small school. And what was very special about this school was that the school was right next door to the market. And during the course of the week, there was business going on. Particularly twice a week, they used to bring cattle and sheep. We'd be sat in school and we could smell the sheep and the cows in school, hear all the noise outside. And there was a wonderful connection between the place of learning and the marketplace together. And over the top, I think, of the marketplace, they had an inscription that said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So what they were doing in this marketplace, they realized it wasn't just important to have something to live with, but something to live for. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It was a recognition of a greater purpose. Next door to the school was not just a market, but there was also St. Mary's Church, and it's still there. And at harvest time and at dearest times of the year, we would all trail in twos, holding hands to the church, and we would pray and sing together. Particularly now, all good gifts around us have come from heaven above. And the great thing about this place of worship, St. Mary's Church, place of education, St. Mary's School, the marketplace, the place of commerce, it integrated the whole of our life. And it gave us purpose and meaning. But let me tell you what's happened. Now we've separated education from spirituality. We made it secular. Now we've separated the marketplace from the place of prayer. And in fragmenting our lives, we become more anxious and we lose purpose and we lose meaning. And that wonderful little scenario of the market, the church, and the school integrated the totality of our life. And I wonder why people live fragmented lives now is because they don't realize actually we need it all together to find purpose. Maybe people don't believe in God as much as they used to because now they don't look out on beautiful sceneries of mountains and green grass and see the harvest and the labor of farmers producing what they need. But what they do is they look out on high-rise blocks that have been built by men. We live in a concrete urban jungle where there is the creation of man and not the creation of God. And maybe our hearts have walked away from God because we think that it's only the creation of man that matters, if that makes sense. And so we don't give our children purpose. We give them things, but we don't give them meaning. Just three things to tell you before I finish today. On this Harvest Sunday, let me ask you, first of all, a simple thing from the vicar. Here it is. On this Harvest Sunday, do you say grace at home? Do you stop and give thanks for the food that you've received and the blessing that you have? When was the last time you said grace at home? Thank you, Father, for what we are about to receive. When was the last time you said grace at home and recognized that actually all that you have comes from Him? All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. When was the last time you said grace at home? Let me say to you, start saying grace at home. Just, Lord, thank you for the grub. I don't mind. Saying thank you is enough. When was the last time you said grace at home? On Sundays, invariably, we have all our grandchildren together and our extended family now. And one of the most wonderful things that we gather around the family table and the children want to say grace. Wow. And it orientates their hearts to those things that matter. We give them things to live for, not just things to live with. And it's wonderful. It's a holy moment. Let me instruct you to start saying grace daily at home, please, will you? You might be embarrassed. You've never done this before. Do it anyway. You might think, oh, well, we've forgotten all about that. It's difficult. Do it. Do it, will you? Please do it. Even if the husband and the wife, they look away from each other, not quite sure, well, just do it. Give thanks at home. Secondly, practice more hospitality. I've got the biggest house in the parish, and I'm the priest, the servant. And that's a bit of an embarrassment. And I think to myself, how am I using my house for the glory of God? My space. Most of us live in houses that are very expensive, probably 750,000, some of us. How are you using the resources that you've got for the kingdom of God? How are you inviting people, just one or two, to say, come and share with us? Christianity is centered in eating and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, literally. How are you using your house and your space and what you've got? What are you doing with what you've got for the kingdom of God? Re-energize your home and use it for the purposes of the kingdom and give it away. Take risks. Welcome people in. Use your resource, your bank account, your money, your car, whatever you've got, use it for the kingdom of God. How are you using it? Because there are people who are desperately lonely out there who would love to be invited to your house. Now you might say, well, my partner's not a Christian. Well, maybe they'd be more welcoming than we are. Who knows? Practice hospitality. And thirdly, re-enchant your life. What do I mean by this? Most of us look at the world and we think it's grey. But the Christian looks at the world through the eyes of Christ and sees it all shot through with glory, with wonderful colour and vibrancy and energy. That in every direction, you need to re-enchant your life. You do not live on a lunar landscape, but living on the moon. Everything really is shot through with glory, but because of sin, our eyes have become dull and we become short-sighted. We don't see the glory that is out there. From the rising of the sun to its setting, to the blade of grass, to the dandelion in all its beauty. G.K. Chesterton, one day, one of the greatest minds in Christendom, a journalist and an apologist and writer, he saw a dandelion, and it was the dandelion that made him realize that there was a God, that there was purpose. He saw the dandelion for the first time, and he turned from his atheism to faith. Everything is shot through with glory. Your family, your life, everything is, every cell in your body is an amazing, complete manufacture of wonderful complexity you can never even imagine, that even began to read out the DNA in your one single cell from your lip. It would take you 30 odd years to read it out. You're shot through with glory and you don't realize it. We live on a lunar landscape, and actually one of the saddest things about non-belief in God is that it erodes our life. And it erodes our heart, it diminishes us. And when it says there's nothing but. And the wonderful thing about Christianity, it re-enchants everything, and everything we suddenly see is shot through with glory to the insect, to the bird, to the life itself, to the air that we breathe. You and yourself, you're a walking miracle if you only realize it. You are shot through with glory. I'll give you an example. What percentage of the world's water is fresh water? I'll tell you, 2%. 98% of the world's water is poisonous. 98% of the world's water is poisonous. So 2% of the world's water gives rise to the glory of this planet. And by the way, only 1% of it is accessible. So 1% gives rise to the glory and the wonder of this planet. Just 1% that in this mustard seed of fresh water, all life flourishes. Whoa. That's the glory. Everything is shot through with glory. Do not live on a lunar landscape. Re-enchant your life. Develop a sense of deep awe and wonder for the things that are there. It's wonderful. Harvest Sunday. Say grace at home. Thank you. Practice hospitality with the resources that you've got. Re-enchant your life and see the world as God sees it, full of glory, wonder, colour. If only we could see as he sees. You see, God rejoices, says G.K. Chesterton, in monotony. When the sun rises, he says, do it again. And the daisy comes up, he says, do it again. He rejoices in the monotony, but we cannot rejoice in it because we've grown old because of sin. And God is younger than we are. Say grace at home. Practice hospitality. And re-enchant your life with wonder.